All right, part two. Guys, I'm asking you the questions of what's happening in your houses right now. What's some of the thoughts and maybe the words you've been saying? Are they filled with faith? Are they filled with doubt? I think that's something that's been weighing on our heads. Let me ask you the better question. If Jesus walked into your house right now, would you continue to talk or would you cease and stop talking because your words are filled with doubt, uncertainty? All right. Are they filled with words of hopelessness, impossibility? What are your words saying right now? And that's what I wanted to discuss today. I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about sowing seed. You know, in Galatians chapter 6, it talks about how we will reap what we sow. Well, I want us to reap what we sow in a way that's pleasing and that's wonderful for God. I want us to have a decision, a switch to turn on or off, to say, you know what, I'm going to turn off all the doubt, the negativity. I'm going to turn off the hopelessness. I'm going to turn off all of these thoughts of uncertainty, and I'm going to turn on my faith. I'm going to turn in. I'm going to begin to sow in to the kingdom of God. I'm going to continue to sow in my actions, in my deeds, the purpose of my life. I'm going to sow because there is a season of harvest coming, and I believe this is a season of sowing for sure. So I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 7. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Hopefully you haven't forgotten that we are a note-taking church. Many of you have thought, oh gosh, yeah, that's right. I need a journal. Yes, you need a journal. You need a pen, pencil. You need to write these things down. You're not going to remember it, okay? Write it down. I've got some points today that are really important. I'd love for you to have these down. Granted, we'll put them down at the bottom of the screen, but I want you to write it down. I want you to study it out. And hopefully you've joined one of our Zoom groups, one of our groups out there where we're meeting and we're talking and discussing the week's message. If you haven't joined one, do so by going into the app, and you'll find it in there and click it and join a group, all right? So make that happen. But get your notepads out. Here we go. Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29. Here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Guys, think about this. Man, Jesus really, he nails it right here. This is important. The very first verse, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Guys, if you've ever been to the beach, you know the sand. You stand there for a minute, and as the waves crash and hit your feet, you begin to sink in the sand. It is not firm. It is not a solid foundation. And the things of this world, they want to give you this false security, but the minute you go to stand on it, it washes out from underneath you. You got to have truth. You got to have God's truth. It stands firm. And that's what we're talking about here today. We've got to hear his words and obey them, put them into practice. So, you know, nearly all systems that people have created can be cheated or manipulated. You guys agree with that? I mean, let's look at the judicial system here. The legal system in itself is, you know, they're letting the guilty go free. We see this. It's faulty. Not everybody who actually is paying for the crime that they commit, and they get off, and it takes place every day, because it's not a system that is firm. It is not based upon a rock, okay? And then we also see the educational system. It can be beaten. We see time and time again, students who should not pass get passed just because they want to. They just get tired of the student, and they just pass them, move them on forward. We see students who actually cheat the system. I mean, I remember in college, I had a professor, Dr. Barry, B for Barry. He was a law professor. They always told us, if you go to Dr. Barry and go visit him in his office, he'll give you a B. Sure enough, I got Fs on every single test, but I went to his office just to talk to him and he would be like, "Now, what's your name?" And I'd tell him, "Joshua Gresham." And he would write down B. And sure enough, I got a B at the end of the semester. I'm telling on myself here. I didn't study law very well, but I got it. I got my B in law. So it's an alarming thing. So all of these systems that people create, man, they can be manipulated or cheated. And, you know, that's not the case when it comes to sowing and reaping. You know, a farmer is going to reap a harvest, right? We know this. A farmer is not going to reap a harvest if he does not sow. These are natural laws. And we see that the Lord even chooses to compare this way, the way of sowing and reaping to his word and how it works as a seed. You know, this process of germination of the word, that it takes, it comes in to your life and it takes time, but you got to realize this cannot be avoided. We have to begin to sow God's word into our lives and what we're doing in order to reap a harvest later on. And this is important. I mean, continually throughout the scripture, Mark chapter 4, I mean, there's three moments right there that the Lord is using this comparison of his word to the law of nature and how it's unchangeable and it's not an institution of man. This is important. So write this stuff down, because this is a matter of life and death for many of us in this room. It's a matter of prosperity versus poverty. And you need to make a decision right now. You need to make a decision. Do I want to live in prosperity and life to the fullest? Or am I okay with mediocrity and poverty? Am I okay with of life? Or am I actually settling for death at times? I don't know about you, but I want to choose prosperity and I want to choose life. So I want to begin to sow. I want to do what God tells us to do. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, it says, "He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." You guys see, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God, and the ground is our hearts. And our hearts were created by God to bring forth fruit when his word is planted in us, in them, in our hearts. And just as the seed has to remain in the ground over time to germinate, so does the word. Guys, this is a beautiful picture that we need again. Keep in mind, I've seen too often, I've had conversation after conversation, people will put the word of God in them for 1, 2, maybe 3 days. And then when they don't see the actual fruit of it, they begin to dig it up with words and actions. Because you can't plant a seed, pull it up out of the ground, and keep planting it and replanting it and seeing if it's growing or not. You're going to kill it. Put it in the ground. Put it in your heart and allow it to germinate. Allow God to cultivate. Allow God to produce and grow the seed inside of you. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it come to fruition. It's going to be amazing. And there's stages involved in this. But it has to remain in you, okay? So John chapter 15, verse 7 actually confirms this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Guys, let it sit, because then you get to enjoy the stages of it. Man, that's the hardest part. Many of us want like this, you know, a snap of the finger moment where it just comes, everything just happens. You wake up tomorrow morning and, you know, there it is. No. There's a process, and this is beautiful. And actually, Mark chapter 4, verse 28, which we just read, kind of breaks it down. You know, first, let me go back up here again. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel. Guys, there's a process to this. It begins to grow. And it's nurturing. It's great. We need to realize that's a good thing. You know, if you want a little side note of studying this week to study out, the book of Ezra You know, in Ezra chapter 7, 9 and 10, and even further down, Ezra is talked about in a high regard because he put God at a high regard and honor, and he studied God's word. Well, in Ezra 7, and partially in verse 9 and 10, it says, "For the gracious hand of his God was on him. This was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord and to teach those decrees and regulations to the people of Israel." He had the word of God in him. He was doing the works of the Father. And in doing so, guess what? God's hand was on him. This is a great testament of who Ezra was. It's a great testament for us to follow after. That when you have God's word in you, it remains in you, and you're obeying, you're listening to the Father in everything you do, then you're setting yourself up for success. You're setting yourself up for the things of God because you're going to reap a harvest, and it's in certain seasons. It's just beautiful. So I want to stress to you, again, I feel like I'm stressing to you a lot right now, but I'm stressing to you the importance that you know God's word and that you plant the seed of his word in your heart. And before you need the fruit, that's the one thing. Not just because you have to have the fruit tomorrow. Sometimes we do it out of compulsion. Like, oh gosh, the world's happening. The fire alarms are going off and you're like, and I get it. And you should even then, I'm not trying to deter you from doing it now, if the blinking red light is blinking at you, but it's doing it now. It's doing it before you need the harvest tomorrow. Excuse me. Let me ask you a question. If a farmer wakes up one day, looks out his window and sees his neighbor who's a farmer reaping the harvest, do you think that he can go out that same day and plant and then tomorrow he'll begin to reap the harvest? No, not at all. Matter of fact, it wouldn't even be in the right season. He's doing it all wrong and he would actually set himself up for failure. And then you want to blame God for it. I mean, real, let's go. Let's get there right now. You're going to sit there and you want to blame God for your inability to hear. You know what Jesus kept saying? Throughout the Gospels, he kept saying the words of, if you have an ear, then listen, you know. Those who have ears will hear. Well, let's hear. Let's listen to what God's saying. God's telling us to begin to sow now so we can reap a harvest later. That we're ready and we're prepared for the things that God's placed before us to do. So we're not lacking in anything. God knows what we need. Now, some of you may want some extra reading. Okay, some of you sit down and say, give me a book. Give me some books. I've got two great books for you guys. Okay, it's an author, John Lawrence. Okay, he went to be with the Lord back in 1995. But he has two great books that I'd love for you to get. Okay, so the first book is Life's Choices, Discovering the Consequences of Sowing and Reaping. And then he has another book called The Seven Laws of the Harvest. Now, I'm about to tell you the seven laws of the harvest, okay? Now, I want you to write these down. I'm going to make sure they're down below us right now so you can see them. But that first one is, we reap only what has been sown. I mean, I can't get around this. I don't need to explain these. And I'm not going to explain all of these. You can read the books, okay? But the first one, we reap only what has been sown. I mean, that's pretty plain and simple. Number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. Did you guys hear that? We reap the same in kind as we sow. So if you want corn, you plant corn, right? If I want watermelon, I'm going to plant a watermelon seed. I'm not going to plant a honeydew melon seed and just hope that watermelon sprouts out because both of them have melon at the end of their names. It's not going to happen that way. Okay, so you're going to reap what the same kind as you sow. Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. Remember we talked about that in Mark chapter 4, that there's a season of growth. There's a season of process here. So good. Number five, we reap in proportion to what we sow. If I plant one seed, what am I going to get? I'm going to get a few, right? in proportion. We know that God, when you sow, the natural law of sowing, you're going to reap more, right? Well, in that same proportion, we reap in proportion to what we sow. So you need to know the determination of how much you're going to sow. Well, guess what? You're going to reap a lot back, more than you anticipated, probably. But in what quantity are you sowing? Put that in perspective. Number six, we reap the full harvest of the good only if we preserve. The evil comes to harvest on its own. Now, guys, real quick explanation. The enemy is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance. But we also have to realize that there is an enemy, like a lion, roaring and prowling around trying to devour. Well, in that same manner, when we sow these things, the enemy wants to rip that from us. He wants to take it from us. So we need to be prepared and aware of this. The enemy's going to try to sow weeds and traps to try to kill the harvest. Offense, anger, bitterness, strife, words of doubt and unbelief. And we cannot allow it to happen. We shouldn't stand for that. So that's what this is talking about, that we reap the full harvest of the good only if we preserve. The evil comes to harvest on its own. All right, final last one, number seven. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's, right? Now's the time. When you want to see a harvest in your future, now's the time to sow. So my encouragement to you is sow. You know, if it's maybe at your workplace, maybe right now there's a lot of strife, there's a lot of tension. Are you going to add to that? Are you going to begin to sow good things? Are you going to go in there and you're going to sow love, right? Are you going to inspire people? Are you going to bring everybody down with more doubt, more anger, more bitterness? You know, you've got to learn how to sow the things that are good. Biting your tongue sometimes helps. Galatians chapter 6, okay, read it. There's a time in your life right now that you're gonna have to expect the fact that what we sow, we will reap. The Word of God is based upon God's law, and we can act upon this now. So I encourage you to do that this week to come, have a life change. Make it happen, okay? All right. Listen, I want to pray. And if you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, and you've never made Him Lord and your personal Savior, now's the time. If you want to do that, I want us to pray right now. Pray with me. And then at the end of this, I want you to text. We have a number we want you to text, and you can email us and let us know, because we want to be there for you, okay? So I want to pray this prayer with you, and then we'll turn it over to Miss Christian, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Lord, that we can be sowers of Your Word. God, we thank You, Lord, that we are not a generation tossed to and fro, but Lord, we are steadfast upon Your Word of what You've said. God, You have promised, and Lord, You hold true to Your promises. So God, we thank You for this. Lord, we thank You for those individuals that are watching this morning. Lord, that they have not asked You into their lives as a personal Savior and Lord over their lives. So God, right now, we pray this prayer. Lord, we thank You for forgiveness, for Your blood washing us and making us white as snow. God, we thank You and acknowledge right now, Lord, that we are sinners saved by grace. And Lord, that through You, we can have a relationship with our Father. So Jesus, we accept You in our hearts and our lives to be Lord. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are making a difference. God, we thank You, Lord, that You are changing us. Lord, that we are being reborn and being a Christian now. God, is better than ever before. God, I thank You. Lord, our lives are being changed. Lord, we thank You. We honor You, Lord, with every step we take. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Guys, we love you here at Trailhead Church. We're family. I know right now there's a distance, but I can't wait here in the next few weeks we can join together. So make plans for that. And if you choose to stay home, we understand and we love you. And please let us know. Give us a shout. We'll be calling you guys to check on you. But just know that we are praying. We're standing in agreement. God is in control. Man, it is such a, I'm telling you, I am blessed right now. We are living in a great day right now where we can worship the Lord. Everywhere and anywhere that we are, God is as well. So with that said, guys, get ready for